Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, how's everybody doing tonight? Hey, Robert, are you there, brother?
I'm here, bro.
How you doing, man? Ladies and gentlemen. Huh?
Can you hear me? Can you hear music?
I hear no music, brother, but that's okay.
Hey, what's going on?
I'll sing if I have to, man.
I hope it doesn't come to that.
Hmm?
No, we don't want that. That we don't want. We can do without.
I'll just go ahead and welcome everybody to the Brothers for Real radio show tonight. You're having Real Talk with Robert, Leon, Joseph, and Curtis Gatewood. We are the children of the late Reverend Dr. Wade H. Gatewood and the Mrs. Geneva Gatewood, who is still alive and kicking.
Hey,
I
want
to see her Sunday, and I couldn't slow her down, man. Now, that
you saw Mom on Sunday?
Yes, sir, I did. I saw Mom on Sunday. And she is wide open.
How old is Mom now, man? What is she, like 99?
She's 98. She'll be 99 September 26th.
Lord, have mercy.
Yes, sir.
That's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing.
Beautiful thing, brother. Beautiful thing. We were born into a family of 14 children, 10 boys, 4 girls. Still got 11 of us alive and kicking. It's Black History Month, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be talking a little bit about our Black history and, of course, talk about some of this crazy stuff that's going on in this world today. Some crazy stuff. Crazy. The world's gone crazy, man.
The world gone mad.
That's cool.
Man.
As long as we keep our little space straight, man, we'll be all right. You got to keep your own space straight these days, man.
But that's what it's coming down to. It's like people need to focus on their own house. If you take care of your own house, there's a less likelihood you're going to be the subject of one of these talk shows, one of these scandals, some of this craziness. Look inward for a minute. Stop worrying about everybody else's house. You're looking at other folks' house and your own house on fire. Let's look at making out sure our own stuff is tight and some of this craziness won't come knocking that outdoor.
Yeah, man. You can go ahead and let Sly go, man.
Sly's on my everyday.
Sly came in late. Sly's trying to
make up a lost time. Sly like, I'm here now, man. Come on, bro. Let me sing. Sorry,
no,
Sly.
Sly.
Missed your chance.
Sly missed his chance, man. Yeah, it's Black History Month, man. A lot going on. I was just reading this thing here. See, few people, it's important that we remember our history and continue to remind other people of our history. I mean, we have some tough stuff in our history. We have some good things in our history, of course. I was reading this thing here from TJ Maxx where they had this shirt. And they're not selling shirts.
Mm-hmm.
The slogan on the shirt said, hang loose. So you know what they were raising up to put on the shirt.
They didn't have a black person hanging
from
a tree.
They didn't have a noose on the shirt.
Wow. Let me ask you, Leon. Is every time we see a noose, is that for us?
No, it's not. But it's kind of like every time you see a cross, it's for Jesus.
No, you know or it could be for the Klan.
You talking about the noose or the cross?
I'm saying the cross. The Klan uses the cross.
I know, man, but you know, we don't think Klan when we see the cross. I don't.
Well, should we think noose when we should we think black folk when we see a noose?
I don't.
But that's what
I would like to say. I'm hanging with the people that do, man. You know, I realize I'm a little insensitive sometimes.
No, I'm hanging with them too. I'm just saying that everything can't be against us. Every symbol can't be against us. And we can't adopt every symbol to be against us, because we could really take that to the next step and say, hey, I saw a cross. We know what the cross represents. That's the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, because that's what he used to burn in our forefathers' yards and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Are we making life a little harder for us? It's going to be hard to navigate society in a minute. It's like every symbol we see, it probably does have a racist past.
Yeah.
When you think about what this country was founded on, practically everything in it has a racist undertone. We look at these statues of the so-called heroes of the past. We got all these streets named after generals of the Confederacy. We got schools. We got all this. What's the last thing that came up recently? Something else. Well, let's just stick with the ones we're talking about, like the nooses, the crosses, the blackface. All these things are terrible, and we know. Those are the ones that we know about. But what about the ones that we don't know about? We stand up. I don't, but people stand up for the Star Spangled Banner. And the third verse of the Star Spangled Banner talking about killing slaves that had gone over to join the British. They call them hireling slaves. So now we can't stand up for the national anthem. We can't look at a noose. We can't look at a cross. We can't look at a... I'm not saying that we should. I'm just saying there needs to be a conversation, because I guarantee you tomorrow there's going to be something else that we're going to say, daggone it, that too. Dag, I can't eat a
You know what I've been thinking about?
What's that?
You know what I've been thinking about, Rob? Those little raisins. You remember those little raisins? What were they?
They were singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
California raisins.
California raisins.
You know, the California raisins.
Man, that's blackface.
You look
man.
At them real hard, man. It's something in that.
They're making fun of us. Remember that little monkey, Curious George? I don't like him
right.
either. But you can't say monkey. You better not say monkey.
You better not say monkey, brother.
Somebody going to hurt you say monkey for any reason. You said in a meeting, a quick monkey.
This is what I hope they will lock people up for, though.
What's that?
I wish they would lock Negroes up for using the N-word, man.
Yeah.
How do you get mad at somebody about showing a picture of a noose and you run them here calling yourself nigga all day?
It's hard to reconcile that.
We're not consistent. We're not.
But Leon, but follow my logic here for a minute. Now, I am saying everything that I just mentioned, I'm mad as a wet hen when I see somebody in blackface, I see a noose, somebody say monkey at the wrong time, I'm singing a national anthem singing about killing slaves who've gone over to fight for the British. But when you are in America, that's just one more thing that makes us harder to navigate this daggone racist system that we live in. Sometimes you feel like you just need to tear it down and start it back from the ground up. But that's not going to happen.
That would be nice.
So how do
that
we navigate
nice,
this?
Right.
How do we navigate this United States of America without feeling like we're jumping at our shoulder every time we got a chip on our shoulder? Because that's what they're thinking. Y'all just a little too sensitive. Yeah, we for good reason. But we just want to get through the day in most cases. But we can't, because there's always something. Like you said, that T-shirt with the noose on it said hang free, hang loose, or whatever it said. You can't even go to the
right.
daggone TJ Maxx. You can't even go to the can't buy a box of raisins without looking at it funny. Them little raisins, that look like us. Wait a minute, what's going on? Fire that joker.
They trying to say we black or something? They trying to say we black like a raisin?
What's the monkey doing on that daggone? Hey, wait a minute. Hold a minute. I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to the Brothers for Real radio show. You got Leon and Robert just talking off the cuff for a minute here, man. Call in and talk to us. The number to call is 215-383-3872. Call in and talk to us. Curtis on the line, Robert.
Help us out, bro. Cully.
Hey, brothers. God bless you. How y'all
bro? Man, you see us. We in a quandary over here.
Yeah, man. God is good, man. You guys keep doing your thing there. I want to. I'll let y'all deal with that. I wanted to get to the Black History portion.
Okay, Robert, let's back up since we got Curtis on the line, man. I did want to start the day off with a poem, really. Really, I had a poem. Black History Month. It's actually called I Am a Negro. No, actually, the name of the poem is Negro.
It's
written by Langston Hughes. Of course, Langston Hughes was one of those Harlem Renaissance poets, because he came in, you know, came in during the time of the Harlem Renaissance back in the 1920s. So he's a Harlem Renaissance poet. Anyway, the name of the poem is Negro, and it goes like this: I am a Negro.
Wow.
Black as the night is black.
Wow.
Black like the depths of my Africa.
Amen.
I've been a slave.
Well.
Caesar told me to keep his doorsteps clean. I brushed the boots of Washington. I've been a worker. Under my hands, the great pyramids rose. I made mortar for the Woolworth building. I've been a singer. All the way from Africa to Georgia, I carried my sorrow songs. I made ragtime. I've been a victim. The Belgians cut off my hands in the Congo. They lynched me still in Mississippi.
Good Lord.
I am a Negro. Black as the night is black. Black like the depths of Africa. Man, I feel like to say, folks, that poem was written by a famous poet, Langston Hughes, and he was a Harlem Renaissance poet, which just means he lived during the period of the Harlem Renaissance. You know, Negroes were, that was a very progressive period for Negroes, as we were called back then. Of course, we've been through some other names since Negro, but we were called Negroes back then. And it was a very, very good time for black people. We were in a segregated society, and now it turns out the segregated society was really good for us.
Well.
And the debate is whether we would still be better off segregated. But we'll get into that later. How are you doing tonight, Curtis?
Hey, man, God bless you. I'm doing great, man. God is good. I do just want to say in response to that poem, it is great because he not only talks about the experience here in America, but he expands the, at that time, Negro. Of course, I would have problem with that language now, Negro, of course. But that was the term. He was just saying, basically, we were saying African-American now. That's what he would be saying. But he brought in the greatness of the builders of nations and pyramids and all those great things that we've been to become lynched and, you know, and be pretty much walked upon. I could see how he was lifting spirits and educating through his poetry. And I've often said, today, the poets of America should reclaim the of our movement, reclaim the poetry of our truths and our power. In other words, as Booker T. Washington used to say, cast down your buckets where they are.
Wow.
If we were to do that in poetry, we would cast down our buckets in the poetic imagination and creativity God has given us and retake it from the criminals who took poetry and turn it against us. So he was using
Wouldn't it be beautiful,
Curtis? To educate.
Curtis.
He was using poetry. That's what they used to do. But go ahead, Leon. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be beautiful if Snoop Dogg then would start reciting the poetry of Maya Angelou and Langston Hughes and, man.
Right.
Reciting the literature of Frederick Douglass.
And check this out, Leon. If they're not going to do it, there are millions of poets who can. That's my point.
Yeah.
If Snoop Dogg and 50 Cent and Young Jeezy and all the other guys who are out here doing what they do with poetry and gangsterizing and all of that, the new
NWAs of this generation, if that's what they insist upon doing, then they're gonna always be that element in your race. But they do not have to lead our race. You see,
right,
we can
right.
retake, reclaim. Leaders must emerge, moral leaders, leaders who understand justice and righteousness and character and building nations and building minds. We have to reclaim our art. That's what I'm saying, regardless of who else.
How are we doing
it?
First,
huh?
How do we do that? I mean, I know you're doing it. I know you. I see you out there.
Right, and I think we need to inspire more people to do it with our platform. But I think we underestimate the power we have because a lot of people think, well, if I can't write poetry, then I can't get out here and rap like Gatewood can, so I ain't worried about no rap stuff. Or if I can't do this, I'm not going to write. See, I'm talking to the poets of our community. We have so many. And I'm saying do what you do. To those of us who does the ministry, you do your ministry. Those of us who sing, you do your singing. But we must not allow people to rob our poetry. That has been the heartbeat of our community. You know, you can, you know, whatever your field may be, do justice. But the poets have been robbed. That's what I'm saying. And so I'm speaking to poets as we speak, Leon. There are some young poets out there under the sound of my voice. There are some people who are in the arts around this country who are in college, who are some young men who are on the streets under the sound of my voice. I want to provoke a new thought to them. They can use their poetry to educate, to inspire, and retake their communities.
Yeah.
They can do it. Nobody has to give them permission. They don't have to get a record deal. They can start right now where they are.
That's so true. What do you say that, Leon?
Thank you, man. I was just going to say, ask you something right quick. But actually, what I want to ask you was kind of getting off the history point, though. We're going to stay on that a little bit. So what's going on in D.C., Robert?
Well, we're on the eve of a potential another shutdown, but I think it's going to be averted. Trump has really met his match with Nancy Pelosi and the new Congress. He knows he cannot sustain another shutdown because he was blamed for the first one. His ratings took a beating, and he was starting to lose his party. The Senate was starting to fracture. He still had pretty good footing in the House, but the Senate, they seem to be a little more, well, it's not as many of them, so the attention is more concentrated, and they knew that they were standing, they were going to suffer for that shutdown if it happened again. He's not going to get his 600 miles of border wall. He's not going to get his $5.7 billion, but he's still determined to fulfill his crazy campaign promise of building a wall to keep out people of color. And to further his white supremacist views, but that's happening, and I think there will not be another shutdown. I think there will be some type of compromise, and that's going to happen. Of course, we got the still trying to build businesses up here, the Marketing Pulpit, Gatewood Marketing, and people that have coalesced around me. We're on a mission this year to help put more businesses on the map and help the ones that are out there to be more successful. And so that's been my contribution for Black History Month, and going forward is to be proactive about making sure that every chance I get to help another black business succeed. And we do that by bringing people on the radio show, by bringing them through my company, to connecting people together through networks and affiliations and collaboration, encouraging people to support the businesses in the community. And so we're all hands on deck in that front, and not just in D.C., but anywhere under the sound of my voice where you can support or make some type of impact. People think that that just because they're not Rosa Parks or Colin Kaepernick or in a bus boycott, that they can't make an impact in the trajectory of our community. That's not true. Everybody can make some type of impact. I'm just trying to give people more tangible ways that they can actually do something that can actually affect not just their own pocketbooks, but to help our community as well.
Perfect, man.
Leon,
Right, quick guys, I'm switching gears a lot in midstream here. Curtis, Robert, and I know Curtis, you're gonna be really excited about this, but I have a discussion about it that I want to bring before the brothers. There's a Democratic presidential candidate, and her name is Marianne Williamson, a best-selling author and spiritual teacher and activist, and she's announced her bid for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination.
Sarah Ann
Lee. She is proposing as part of her platform $100 billion in slavery reparations.
She got my vote. That's not enough, but that's a good start.
At least you talk.
This is a white lady.
Can you hear me, Leon?
Oh, the white lady.
I hear you now. Huh?
The white lady. You said the white lady?
Yeah.
I thought it was a sister. Holy my goodness. What? I have to look this lady up.
You know what, Leon? She is smart. Let me tell you that. Now, like Robert said, $100 billion. Is that what you said, $100 billion? You didn't say $100 trillion.
Yeah, $100 billion. Yeah, $100 billion. That's a lot of billions.
But my point is, that's not enough. But what she is
of course
doing,
not.
What she's doing, though, Leon, which is very important, putting the platform on the table, unlike anyone else. And I'm going to tell you, she is on the right track. I said that before on this radio show. You know that, right? These candidates for this generation, if they're not going to be talking about reparations, releasing the massively incarcerated people from the 1994 crime bill and other so-called wars on crime that was a war on black people and ended up creating the new plantations or the new Jim Crows of mass incarceration. If these candidates are not talking about this and police accountability, we're going to lose a generation of voters.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am saying she is on the right track. Because guess what? The only reason reparations is not as high in the polling as it would be, and the reason why people aren't talking about it is because you have about, I think the last polling I saw, you have about 80% or more of whites in America who are against reparations. But guess what? Now you have an influx of immigrants, African Americans, Haitians, other people who are starting to change the color of America and dilute that 80% of whites who are against reparations. Because in the African American community, reparations, you probably had about 70 to 75%. In the Latino community, it's about 50-50. So the numbers are changing, and reparations is not that far-fetched thing that people used to think it was. Because again, the reason why it's low in the polls is because of the high percentage of whites, but whites are becoming more progressive as the dilution of Latinos and African Americans are coming in. So that young lady is on the tip of the wave that's coming, and people are not going to see it. They're gonna wonder how did someone get coming talking about reparations, something we thought we would laugh at, getting to get traction in the ears of black people and poor people and African Americans is because she is speaking to the issues of the future and this generation.
Check this out.
Wow.
What about Booker? Do you think Booker and Harris would even dream about mentioning that?
Probably not. And that's why it's good she's doing it. Because the problem in the Democratic Party, Leon, and that is why voter turnout is going to be low for young people until something changes. We can say vote. We can say people died for the right to vote. You can say all you want to do about vote. If these people are not bringing issues, and then look, you saw it with Barack Obama. You saw it with Bernie Sanders. At the time they were speaking to that particular generation. We're in another generation now. They were speaking to the anti-Bush war generation. They were speaking to
And you heard Bernie Sanders speaking to the anti-billionaire generation. He's getting ready to go up another notch. We're not in the Bernie Sanders generation. We're not in the Obama generation. But each person who comes out speaking to the young progressive vote, they have a great chance of having that young vote ride them into the White House. But the young vote are not going to be activated by the status quo.
I think I think right now we're at a cusp. We're, like Curtis was saying, we have that young progressive, like the Ocasio-Smith lady and the recent lady who's a Palestinian that's in a spat with Trump. These folks, they're like, I don't give a F. They
got the young folks paying attention. The more Trump slaps around Ilhan Omar, the more he does that, he builds a giant.
Yeah,
he's going to have so much power by the time she could be president.
But see,
the direction young people are going in.
This is the challenge right now, is that we're kind of like we're at that half, maybe not even halfway mark. It's still kind of still leaning. The advantage is still on the old traditional way of doing things as far as the numbers are concerned. But the momentum is definitely swinging on the progressive side as we get more immigrants, young people, and enlightened enlightened white people who are actually starting to see that some of the injustices that have been created in the past and some of the younger people that are coming in that didn't bring all that baggage into their adulthood. So we're seeing those demographics shift.
Right.
Now,
the white vote. The white vote or the white progressives are not as traditional white liberal. We have white people today who are wondering why you're not talking about reparations. Why you're not having a stronger stand against Israel. Why you're not talking about mass incarceration. Why you're not supporting Black Lives Matter platform. You have whites who are saying they are tired of being sitting in this little walk, this little baby step walk toward justice, and then the racist Trumps and all those folks getting there and taking 50 steps backwards. People are tired of this stuff, man. This politically so-called correctness, it's incorrect. It's incorrect in terms of the movement for justice. Martin Luther King was not politically correct, okay? But the Bookers, you know, what was the guy named Booker? Is that his name?
Booker T. Washington. Cory Booker. Yeah, Cory Booker.
See, the problem I have with Cory Booker, now, unless he has repented and changed his ways, this guy was coming down on Obama because Obama and his crew were speaking against, I'm trying to think of the guy who he ran against. Who was the guy he ran against the last time?
I know you're talking about
The wealthy guy.
Mormon guy. Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, when Obama's team was speaking against that corrupt move that he made as far as he did some type of, while he was the so-called CEO, whatever, there was a bad loss of business, there was a bad move, a bad deal that was made, a corrupt deal that was made, and Obama's team was holding Mitt Romney to the fire. They were holding him to the fire, and Booker came in acting as if it was a slap against wealthy people. You know, and that was just one of those little political things, you know what I'm saying, to make it look like, you know, we don't hate wealth, or we're not going to come against wealth. And so it was a politically so-called correct move, but it was incorrect in terms of people who want to do justice in this generation. So I think that's going to come back to hunt him unless he has something else. Unless he has changed radically to the other side. I don't think this tiptoeing politically correct stuff is going to get it with this generation.
Yeah, I think the numbers. You got Kamala Harris and Cory Booker. They're in a precarious position because they still have that challenge that Obama found himself in. He still needed to get somewhere between 35% and 40% of the white vote, and they know that we're not there. and all the black vote, and mostly all of the immigrant vote. And the numbers right now are getting closer and closer where they can rely on less of the white vote, but they're
right.
not there yet. So they are still walking that tightrope, and
hey,
they
Robert,
feel like – go ahead, Kirk.
And Robert and Leon, the way you offset it is activate the young vote, because the young whites, the young blacks, the young Latinos, those are the people who are more against this hypocrisy and this little tiptoeing through the tulips stuff that's been going on over the last 30, 40, 50 years. If you activate the young vote, you have a better chance of bringing up and not having to rely so much on the so-called likely voter. See, they're putting their eggs in the basket of the likely voter. But if
and
you can spark a fire under the unlikely, then you can minimize the need for those old-thinking people who are looking for political correctness and tiptoeing through the tubes and not making anybody mad, you know, that type of stuff. But the key is activating the young vote.
Yeah, it's a numbers, it's a numbers game. It's a numbers game.
Mm-hmm. Brothers, then we be still pissed off because we didn't get that 40 acres on a mule, man. I mean, how do you? Okay, I know the lady said she's gonna do the $100 billion thing, Ms. Williamson. But the way she's describing doing it, Robert and Curtis, is through programs. Is that gonna make us happy?
Hey, I want my 40 acres on a mule. That gun it. 40 acres would do me just fine. You keep the mule.
I think that'll be pretty good.
That'll do
yeah,
me
man,
just fine.
But you know, Leon and Robert, the key is bringing the reparations to the table. You don't necessarily, I don't think necessarily, have to have all of the answers on how you're going to do it. I think you need to have some type of idea. But I think the key is bringing the best and brightest, because I don't know if everybody had every way of figuring out how you're going to get the IRS to know when you didn't pay your taxes and they take a levy out on you and all that. There was something you just didn't quite figure out before you went into that system. But
that's true. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to the Brothers for Real radio show. Listen to the Brothers for Real radio show tonight. We're discussing black history, and we're going to discuss the empire when we come back. We're going to talk about this brother on the empire that – he said he got beat up by some white people. You don't know. We can't figure this one out yet. He still had his sandwich in his hand or something when they found it. I don't know.
I want to talk about the empire of Mali, black history.
Break it down. The Brothers for Real are back.
It's a low down.
Break it down, man. Break it down. The Brothers for Real tonight. We're discussing our black history. Discussing black history tonight and some other pressing issues. Before we get to this Smollett brother, man, there's a lot going on in Virginia. Now, you thought it was bad that the guy had blackface and all that
wow.
stuff. None of it. The Virginia deal thief lists 58 clergy with sex abuse allegations.
Oh, my goodness.
The what?
The Virginia Diocese. He lists 58 clergy with sex abuse allegations.
They were like pimping the nuns, weren't they? They were doing some.
They was no, these guys sexually abusing minors. You know what
oh,
they
okay.
do.
Oh, okay, right.
These guys will say they don't have sex, but that doesn't mean they don't have. They're not having sex. I hate to say
right.
it like that, but.
Well, you know,
these guys,
you know, the
man.
Catholic Church, you know, the Catholic Church. You know what happened there with all these little boys and stuff that went on for a long time.
Exactly.
So I'm not necessarily surprised because people seem to think for some reason that, you know, the church, just because the pastor or something say he's been born again and saved, they give him a congregation and that's it. You know, there's not a lot of oversight over the church, and I'm not saying that, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of good pastors who are doing what they came to do, what they were called to do, but all you have to have is charisma.
Yeah.
They must have plenty of that. They say across a dozen states, over 300 of these priests have abused at least 1,000 kids, man.
Good Lord.
Over 7 decades, over 1,000 kids. That's crazy
That's crazy.
Let's go to the Empire, man. This Justice Smollett guy, man. Justice Smollett. That guy. He said when they got to the house, got to the guy's apartment, he still had the noose around his neck. I don't know about Robert. I don't know about the part about the sandwich, man. That's something. I haven't heard, but
that's what I heard. They said he went to a Subway, and he still had his sandwich once they got to him. But, you know, when I was thinking about it, man, Subway got some good sandwiches, though, man. I ain't going to lie. If he had that cold-cut trio, and you put some of that...
Yeah, man, that sweet onion that, chicken teriyaki.
The sweet onion sauce with some mayonnaise. Oh, man, it would take more than three races beating on me to get rid of that sandwich. I'm sorry.
More than the KKK to get that from me, bro. You're right.
So maybe you may have to let him pass. You might have to give him a pass on the sandwich bit, but the noose part that seems
still
a
little. Had his sandwich when he got back to the hotel.
Yeah, he still had his sandwich.
I mean, when he got back to the hotel.
When the police got there, he still had his sandwich. But you know what? I know this sounds crazy, man. Y'all don't beat me up on this. But the more outrageous the claim, the more my antenna goes up. It's like. I know that there's people in this country that would do that in the drop of a hat. Man, I think it was like 0 degrees that day, though. It was like, it was 0 degrees at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if the Klan is out that time.
And the next thing, man, like you say, he had too much stuff going on. He had the noose. He got beat up. They said, they called him niggas and all that. They called it, they said, make America great again. They poured something on him. They said it smelled like bleach. That's too much to do to a brother.
That's a lot of stuff, man. I just don't know if the racists want to work that hard. They just go ahead and shoot you or run you over and do something. But that was just too many details going on. All right, get the bleach now. We done tied him up on the noose. Where's the bleach? Who brought the bleach?
Now whooped him.
You got the bleach, Cletus? All right, get the bleach.
Wait a minute, man. We didn't say make America great again. Let's say that.
Where's the hat? No, we ain't going to do the hat this time. But like I said, that's not to minimize the things that have been done to our people. They've been done a lot worse.
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
But there was a lot of things in that story, and I'm not even saying it didn't happen. It just makes you red. Makes your antenna go up.
Yeah, I didn't follow that story that much. So what is the community saying? Is the community kind of like split on this? Or is mostly people are saying it happened, but white people are saying it didn't? How is it looking out there with that?
I tell you, Curtis,
you know, of course, when it first happened, everybody got excited, you know? But now people are like, man, they had cameras everywhere. They didn't ever see him getting beat up. And he still had the noose around his neck when they got there eating his sandwich. It just didn't. He's losing support, man.
You know, black guy, a sandwich, and a noose around his neck. I said, wait a minute. Hold on. Something not work. Something not right here.
Then, you know, the next question would be, why would somebody do that? Why would somebody say that happened to him?
Well, you know, this, like I said, I'm everything I say is like, I'm going to, until we hear otherwise, I'm going to have to take him on his word. But I can say that there are people that, for various reasons, you know, now this is something that a lot of people not even realize. There are women out here, and maybe some men too, that will hurt their children to get attention. That's some kind of condition that in us, in humans, and others have an extreme case of it. When you want attention, and it's actually a condition. And I use that example about women and children because sometimes women, there have been cases where parents, parents have actually done things to their kids, either denied them medical attention or did things that would actually harm them because they were not getting the proper amount of attention. I think that same condition can extend itself to people like Smollett and other people who feel like they need to do something to put increased spotlight or attention on them. So I'm not saying that's what happened, but I'm just saying that would be one rationalization, because otherwise it really doesn't make any sense. Why a regular, normal person with all the positive things that he has going in his favor would do something like that.
Yeah, I saw a couple of stories I did on life.
I'm just having to ask questions now since I got you guys, like you guys pretty close to this story. So is there an investigation going on?
Oh, yeah.
So the investigation is basically saying that there were cameras that were out there that didn't see any of this and all that.
Right, there were cameras out.
So what did the cameras see?
The cameras captured what they thought were two suspects who were in the vicinity, but the cameras did not capture any of the attack. And one of the things that got Twitter going again was one of the, I think the Chicago police said, if Smollett fabricated this, then he could be charged. And that really got people going. It's like, why would he even say something like that if they didn't feel like maybe there was a little smoke behind that fire? So that's what got that latest round of discussion going. That comment that was put in the one of the newspapers that this chief said if he fabricated this, then there could be some charges brought to him. It's almost to say, look, we really not really sure this thing happened. They just haven't come out and said it yet, but I don't think they believed it from the beginning. And that could be a problem in itself, that they don't believe it and they're not taking him seriously enough. That in itself could be a problem. So we have to kind of break these different pieces apart to make sure that they wanted the guys getting the right attention and investigative powers doing their job. And if they are doing their job and they've done everything that they could have done regardless of whether of his race or sexual orientation, and they still can't find anything to validate his claims, and that's what's fueling this fire, that they feel like people are starting to feel like there's nothing there.
Yeah, hey, Rob. How's your radio show going, man?
Man, the show is really hot. We have a very popular show over at Radio 1. The Marketing Pulpit comes on every Friday at 10:30 a.m. We bring the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls. We're saving businesses. We're saving jobs. We're saving our community. We're trying to instill some economic empowerment in our community. And we have the greatest lineup of co-hosts. We have Attorney Teacher Hillman on the first Friday, the second Friday. We have Accountant Philosophy, the third Friday. We have Attorney Teacher Hillman. And the fourth Friday, we have Debt Relief Specialist Danny Jones. This week we're going to have a dentist on talking about all the money that people are not taking advantage of, like people who are like pregnant mothers get free dental care in the state of Maryland. Senior citizens get free dental care up to a certain amount, and people are not taking advantage of these services that are free. And so I'm bringing on a dentist on this coming Friday to talk about these different services that are available to the community that people are not taking advantage of.
Well, you say pregnant mothers, and who else get free dental service?
Senior citizens.
How old is that?
And I think up to 65 when your Medicaid kick in. But I think these services are available in some other states too, and I think people need to sometimes we're so busy focusing on what we're not getting, we don't take advantage of some of the services that we're actually entitled to. And I think that comes from lack of education. That's why we need shows like the Brothers for Real, the Marketing Pulpit, to make sure that we get everything to which we are entitled. And that's why I bring on people like this dentist that's coming on this coming Friday to talk about in the state of Maryland the services that he said that people aren't taking advantage of it. He said people, pregnant mothers can get free dental care for the entire 9 months that they're pregnant. Now, if they have that baby a little early and they're in the middle of a root canal, I don't know what's going to happen. They may just throw off the table or what, I don't know. But up until the time they have that baby, they get free dental care. I said, wow, I didn't even know that. So I said, come on here, brother, let's talk about this. Yeah. So anyway, that's the whole, but Leon, the show, we need mouthpieces in our community. There is information out here that people like Trump and the Senate and the Congress do not want you to hear. They do not want you to. That's why they stopped advertising the sign-up date for the Affordable Care Act. One of the ways that Trump was going to kill the Affordable Care Act was going to be one piece at a time. And one thing he did was he pulled the advertising to announce the rules, the regulations, the cutoff, how to do it, the number to call. When Obama was in the White House, that was like a marketing campaign, a full-blown marketing campaign, making people aware of the Affordable Care Act. The Trump administration yanked the advertising so people don't know about the services that they're entitled to. That's part of the game.
Why would anybody like Trump?
We have to pick up that slack in our community and get that information into the hands of people that need it.
I agree with you, man. This is ridiculous. But, yeah, I've been listening to your show, man. I like the way you went. You started to go live on it and all that good stuff, you know, how you go Facebook Live and people can watch you talk. How cool is that, man? People can watch you talk.
But Leon, boy, I'm gonna step on some toes this Friday. You know what I'm gonna talk about this Friday? Why in the world are black businesses hiding the fact that they are black businesses? And I'm gonna tell people the benefit of coming out of the closet.
Answer the question for us, man. Why are they doing that? Help me.
Well, because they're under this false belief that it's going to serve them by attract. It's almost like the same thing with politics. They feel like if they don't step on, if they can appeal to enough whites, but I keep asking myself, do you want that person as a customer? Somebody who hates you so badly that they would not do business with you because of your color, is that the customer that you want? I'm saying no. I'm telling you right now.
They don't want the customer, man. They just want the money.
Yeah, but guess what, Leon? You can't hide from who you are. What do you think is going to happen when you walk in the door?
Sooner or later, they're going to find out.
They're going to figure it out sooner or later.
Ain't no Negro. I'm working for the white man.
So what you have to do is part of your business strategy. Now, this is what makes my company different from a lot of other marketing companies. I go through an extensive process of finding out who that person is that's running that company. Are you pursuing your purpose? If you're pursuing your purpose, it cannot include denying who you are. You're in the wrong line of work. You're serving somebody else. You're not serving yourself, and you're not serving your community. You're definitely not serving your purpose. You're chasing a dollar. That's the problem in our community. Too many people are chasing the dollar and not chasing their purpose. Once you serve your purpose, you're going to attract the people that's going to help you and help your community and everything that you believe in. But if you're out here denying who you are, trying to be something you're not, it's going to be a short-lived success.
Yep. You know, the discussion I had with the guys at the Holocene Kitchen, the Holocene restaurant, say what do you want to call it, this week, I said, guys, this is a service. What we're providing to our community is a service.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we look at it like it's a service, the more successful we'll be and the more they will claim it. You know, we got to be, we're a service. People wake up in the morning, they want breakfast, and they can come right down the street to the Holler Center, get a good, hot, nutritious breakfast. So that's a service, man.
Well, Leo, let me tell
you. That is valuable. It's a valuable service. It's like you go to a gas station, but you about to run out of gas. Man, aren't you happy when you can find a gas station? That's a service. Being in business is a service.
You know what happened to me, Leon? I would say for a fleeting moment, and I'm sure everybody who's ever been, when you go through the traditional school system and you've been indoctrinated and believing certain things, you come out with this kind of warped way of thinking. That's why Carter G. Woodson had it. He nailed it on the head. We're miseducated.
Oh, yeah.
But for a fleeting moment, I've said to myself, maybe if I can just maybe be more like them, I will attract more of them. And I found myself more stressed. I found myself delusional. I found myself living in a world that wasn't me. I said, what if I just for a minute, what if I be me, 100% me? Man, let me tell you, the scales fell off my eyes. I started attracting people that think like me. I started attracting people that appreciate me. I started attracting people that are willing to pay me what I was worth. So anything that I lost by being living this subterfuge or this incognito, I made up for on the other end. And that's the message I'm going to bring this Friday, that people, I know it's going to be hard, but it's not just about you. Your children are watching. Your neighbors are watching. Your friends are watching. People that you influence are watching. If you're setting that kind of example, how are we ever going to advance as a race?
Wow. Amen, bro.
Hey, man, that's great. That's great, man. That's good. That's good stuff.
So anyway.
Yeah, man.
Got me fired up over here.
Perfect. Ha! And, you know, I guess it's the same thing that goes on with models these days. You know, in black businesses don't have to do that. You know, they have this thing called ethnic ambiguity. They try to make sure you can't tell whether they black or white.
Well, Leon,
one thing I like about Kamala Harris, what she did, is she came right out and said, "I'm black and I'm proud of my blackness." I like Barack Obama when he did that. He said, "I'm an African American." He didn't try to do a whatever this guy was playing the golf. Tiger Woods, who tried to act like he gonna name every possible nationality or race that could have been associated with him throughout his history. But they just broke it down and said, "Look, you know, I am African American, and I'm not running from that." That made me, because the thing that got me, that really touched me about that, is because when I first talked about Barack Obama, I remember it. I was at an event, and I spoke of this black man who was running for office. And this man came and pulled me to the side afterwards. He was like, "Sir, I just want you to understand something. You said Barack Obama was a black man, but I do want you to know that he's a mixed man. He has a white mother, and he has a black father. So he's not black." But it didn't take me to clarify that. Barack Obama later came on to let me know I was right, because I was saying what he wanted to be referred to because of his African ancestry and what he claimed. So it's very good when people can, you know, and that's another point that I think I want to make. Sometimes people think they have to be so politically correct until they're incorrect in how people perceive them, because people like realness.
Yes.
Donald Trump, if his presidency didn't prove anything else, they didn't care if he was dumb and ignorant, incompetent, obnoxious, racist. They felt like he didn't care about the status quo and the political correctness of this society.
Right.
And that's how he got to their hearts. And people need to understand this. We're not learning this on the other side of the political pendulum. It's like we're still trying to walk and try to act as if we're going to present ourselves as we can't say certain things. We can't say that because it might offend this group or it might offend the white group or it might offend the Jewish group. You know, you don't want to offend anybody. But if you tell the truth about a matter, it's the truth. And
that's
so,
right.
I think we need to resort to truth telling, and because the lie is telling their lies, so we need somebody on the other side who's willing to tell the truth no matter who told you stepping on.
Curtis, when you have the truth, when you have retruth, respectfulness, and knowledge on your side, there's a guy called Kwame Salter. He wrote a book called Thriving While Black. And I mean, it should be a required reading. He talks about, like in the workplace, and this applies to whether you're in politics, the workplace, business owner. He said he worked in corporate America, and he watched several types of people. There was the Doberman pincher, and that was the lap dog. And he said the owner will respect the Doberman pincher, but he would kick the lap dog off his lap. But he would never kick that Doberman pincher, no matter how, because that Doberman pincher stood his ground.
Exactly.
He didn't get rid of the Doberman pincher. He just respected him.
Right.
So you got to decide at some point in your life, are you going to be that Doberman pincher or that lap dog?
Or the lap dog.
And people think that people like the lap dog. But see,
that's right.
I won't even take it to scripture. I won't even take it to scripture on this one, Robert. Even Jesus said, be hot or cold. He said,
right.
If you're in the middle, you make me vomit. I throw you out.
Oh, my goodness.
He said, you can't be hot or cold. I mean, you can't be in the middle lukewarm. I spit you out from my mouth. So even Jesus said, I'd rather you be who you are, even if you are hot, or even if you are cold, I want to know who you are. Don't play this game with me. Don't fake me. Don't give me that fake love and that political mess. You know, and that's what we're getting. And I'm going to say one other thing, and I'll be finished about this Republican and Democrat. You know, you start to see more and more these Democrats seem to be out to prove that they're going to hold Democrats to a higher standard than the Republican Party. The trick with that is the Republican Party consists of white, rich men who we are allowing to be held to a substantially lower standard than the party that has black, women, Latinos, and poor whites. This is the party that supposedly suggests they're going to be held to a... No, you have to hold everybody. I'm not going to be satisfied with somebody saying I'm going to hold the Democrats to this standard, but the Republicans got to hold their Republicans. No, no. It's not up to the Republicans to determine how they're going to hold their Republicans. It's up to us to determine how everybody's going to be held to the same standard.
That is so true. That is true. We're seeing that played out throughout the country. We're seeing it in Virginia. We're seeing it in the national stage. We're seeing it.
Yeah.
We got to be consistent. We don't have to be.
That's right.
We don't have to be harder. We don't have to be softer. Just be consistent.
Exactly. Be fair. Be fair, everybody. Listen, if I don't say anything else on this air tonight, black people invested a lot of blood between 1890 to 1960. There's probably over 5,000 lynchings in this country. We invested a lot of blood into Democrats. We have paid the price for due process. Do not let anybody make you think there's something wrong with requiring due process. There is no way to obtain justice without fact finding. If you're not willing to get engaged into fact finding, then you are not about justice.
That's true. And that's what we have down in Virginia now, and people are – we have that situation, very toxic situation in Virginia with the lieutenant governor, Justin Fairfax, and he has two accusers of Vanessa Tyson and Meredith Watson.
Yep.
And I'm saying to myself, before we start talking about who's guilty or innocent, let's get the facts.
Exactly.
Let's get the facts.
We have put ourselves in a box, man. When did we get on the side against due process?
Right.
How did we do that? Even my daughter, Catherine, was saying that she is a pro-black woman feminist. She said, Daddy, at what did we get, knowing all that happened to black men being hung in trees, lynched, and all that, at what point did we start believing all women?
Yep.
He said, what point did we get to? When did that become logical?
Well,
it's like the woman said it, so we're going to believe the woman. No. Get the facts. Due process.
Brothers, we about run out of time, brothers.
Yeah.
Brothers, I hate it, brothers. We've run out of time. We have a caller on the line. I wonder if the caller would like to speak. Caller, would you like to speak? 314-381.
Well, I want to say a couple of things. Your lieutenant governor and also your governor. You know, me, myself, I don't care what people done 30 years ago, especially in the cases that we've seen lately with Judge Kavanaugh, Judge Moore in Alabama, and I guess this governor where there's only two people, because people can say anything with no collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
But when Democrats tore into Kavanaugh because of what he allegedly done, well, the same thing should be done with this lieutenant governor also. Now, but, you know, you're going to have this double standard, and the double standard is going to fall in line when you're black and when you Democrat. And
see,
we had a state senator in Missouri, Maria LaPelle Nadel. She wrote on her Twitter, I want Donald Trump to be assassinated. She an elected official, black woman. And nothing happened to her. Now, somebody was saying something about earlier, about you don't live for your, you don't live just for you. Who said that?
That was probably me.
I heard that.
You're absolutely right. Let me ask you something. Do you go to the clubs? Do you mess around with strange women? I mean, as far as sex is concerned?
Nope.
No, because you can't expose yourself to those type of environments when you got other people that depends on you. You may be working in a boys and girls club. You may be a coach on a football team, a baseball team. Or you may have grandchildren that need your intergenerational wealth and wisdom in order to lead and guide them. So you avoid those types of situations. Why? Because you just don't live for yourself. And that has to be taken into consideration. But you don't have much time.
Across the board, and I think what the brother is saying, and there's no argument.
I'm not.
I
agree with what he said.
Yeah,
but I just want to add a little bit more to it.
No, you're right. Yeah. You're right. I'm agreeing with you too. I'm amening you. I think one thing I think we all can agree on, that we have to be consistent, and we can't have this double standard, and we can't have hypocrisy. It's going to even when you apply it. When you apply it and it benefits you in the current, it's going to come back and bite you later on. So you got to be consistent at all times.
Exactly right, Robert. And see, I want to say this to the young man too, is I have been consistent because when they were doing it to Kavanaugh, I said, don't fall for the okie doke. If his policies are bad, that he has a record, fight on his record that you have in front of you, unjust law enforcer. Use that. When they jump off on the allegation, then you're running after something that you don't really know whether it's true or false. And that gave you a way out. I think if they would have focused on his record, then that was the fight to stand on, because your record is your record. You can't argue with that.
Hell.
But I can argue against an allegation.
Hugo Black was a Supreme Court justice, and he was dead on with civil rights, and he used to be a Klan member. But anyway, y'all out of time, man. I could stay on here for a while. Y'all listening to a black Donald Trump supporter and voter because of the issues.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that?
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah, this is the Brother For Real Radio Show. We're here every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 o'clock. We are out of time. The number to call is 215-383-3872, or you can go to www.brothersforreal.com. Brothers, we're done, man. Let's just everybody have a good night, man. We'll be back. All right.
Amen. God bless you.
All right, brothers, for real.
Robert!
Got your basement waiting on you.
Alright, bro.
Alright, man.
Have a good night, man.